morning, everybody. Wow, what a great song to start out on this Friday, huh? Rise Up, episode number 314 on this March 15th, year of our Lord 2024. That is Back to Life, Bethel Music, and Zachariah Zachary. So check it out. What a great tune. What a great song. What a great way to get the Holy Spirit moving inside of us and get our blood pumping and get our bodies moving and stretching out and just embracing everything that the Lord gives us every day, and the good, the bad, the ugly. It's all a blessing, because you know what? I'm going to show you something at the end of the show today that's really going to make you think twice about the alternative, about where you could be. So I have a very, very great show lined up for you today. L.M. Burkowski, Your Love Never Gives Up on Me. Jessica Bryan, O'Brien, good morning. Mustache, good morning. Eileen Jimenez, good morning to you. Thank you so much. Kristen Donovan, rising up early with her coffee. Folks, I've got great news. JeremyHarrell.com, LFATV.us. Back in action, folks. Go get your Rise Up coffee and your Rapture Ready gear and your Trump 2024 gear today. It is back up. It is more secure, better than ever. And pretty soon we're going to be adding the new look to both websites. We had to rebuild to get us back secure so that we could have a website, have two websites again, but now we're giving it a facelift as well. So I'd like to thank all of you who helped us fund the new servers. I'd like to thank everybody who donated and helped fund for the new security on the network and on the website servers. We appreciate that very, very much. It took a long time, but you know what? Good things come to those who wait. And that which you sacrifice for is always going to be a lot better. A lot better. Jeremy, I wanted to share that my job, which is a woke liberal department, has allowed Christians to gather at work for prayer and fellowship. God is good. That is amazing. That's God working in places where you never thought it would happen. Where you never thought it would happen. That's right, folks. You can go back to JeremyHarrell.com or LFATV.us. Go back there today. Start donating again. Start buying again. Start listening to good music. Listen to the podcast again. Join up for the newsletter, the Revolution newsletter. It's all back, and we got to thank God for that. So, really, really great. Today's show is titled Trivializing Sin. Trivializing sin. Now, I think this is something that we're all guilty of in some way, shape, or form. And the world is definitely guilty of trivializing words and definitions. So let's break down today kind of what today's show is going to touch on. Then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Then we'll come back. We'll read some good devotionals. We'll read the verse of the day. We'll watch some Ray Comfort. We'll laugh, we'll cry, we'll love each other, and we'll just have one heck of a great Godcast today. Who's with me on that one? Raise your hand. Good to see everybody here. Mary and Wiser Fit. Hello. Michelle Curl. Bad Moon is in the building, folks. Gotta love Bad Moon. Patty is here. Hemlock is here. Wayne Davis is here. Mutt Mom is here. We got 1,000 people plus watching. Let's get to it, folks. Do you know how many of us trivialize sin without even knowing about it? The world and Satan work overtime to change the definition of all of our words and confuse literally everything about our lives. Today, we will discuss this in length and, of course, watch some great videos. So who's ready to talk about trivializing sin? Raise your hand, share the video, rumble the video. As we have, you know what's weird, Eli? All these years, right? And I think a majority of the people that watch us have not signed up for a Rumble account. So what they'll do is they'll go to Rumble. This is why it's so hard for people to find the show. They'll go to Rumble and they'll just go to the search bar and type in LFA TV. And if it doesn't show up, it's really hard to find. However, if you sign up for a Rumble profile, which is free and takes all of 3 minutes, then you will be notified every time we go live. And you can follow the channel. And then when you pop on Rumble, it'll be one of the only channels that are there that you follow. Okay? Jeremy always calls me Wiser Fit. Wise or forfeit?
I think it's Wiser For It.
Wiser For It. Ah, got it. You know, if people just put the regular names, it'd be a lot easier. Hard to read all the, you know, this, that, the other, all pushed, smooshed into one word. Wiser For It. I got it now. Now I'll never say Wiser Fit ever again. And you got to understand, too, with me, I can see this the constant live chat over there, but it's going so fast, it's so hard for me to even read it. So I'm like, Lord Fishy, predictable, Wiser Fit, fat guy. Sound like Joe Biden up here trying to talk. You know what I mean? So anyway, folks, let's get into that today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I want you to know that your verses of the day today are going to come from Matthew. So open your books up to the Bibles up to the book of Matthew and chapter 5. Okay. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. That's where we're going to go today. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're 17 minutes past the hour. Wiser For It. And let's have a good old-fashioned Friday prayer for the Lord, huh? All right, here we go. Wow, Lord and Heavenly Father. We made it through another beautiful, wonderful week. And not by the hair of our chinny chin chins. We actually enjoyed every single day of this week. The ups, the downs, the in-betweens, the laughs, the cries, the smiles, the sadnesses, the frowns, the joy. We actually love every second of it because it is a blessing from you to be able to go through that stuff. It's a blessing from you to be able to embrace the things of this world in order to learn the righteous way to go about the things of this world and to have discernment through the Holy Spirit to know what's good and evil and what's wrong and right. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunities to spread the gospel to people that we don't even know, strangers. Even just by saying, Jesus loves you, may God bless you, have a great day. That's planting a seed. And you put us in all these wonderful positions for us to be able to do this. We ask for strength and you put us in situations that will make us strong. And we ask for wisdom, like Wiser For It. And you put us in situations that will give us experience that brings us wisdom, good, bad, or ugly. And we just love that so very much. But what we really want to focus on today is how we may be trivializing sin. And in a world where we trivialize every word possible known to man, we have to understand that the devil is sitting on the sidelines having us trivialize our sin every day to minimize the effects of it. Lord and Heavenly Father, Jesus and the wonderful Holy Spirit that resides inside of us today, please dwell with us, teach us, help us learn so that we can understand where we need to stop trivializing sin in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I know, Wiser For It. I'm going to use it all the time now. Now I'm going to make a song called Wiser For It. And I'll never, it's my way of remembering not to ever forget that it's Wiser For It, not Wiser Fit. But Wiser Fit's a good name, too. I think it's a pretty cool name, too. So, here's what we'll do today. Let's go right to the verse. How about that? We're going to go right to the verse. Now, let's talk about trivializing sin. Let's talk about the word trivialize. Okay, some people might not even know what that word means. Let me read for you the definition right from the dictionary, what the word trivialize means. It means to make something less important, to make something less significant, or to make something complex more than it really is. So those are the best and most easy ways to understand what trivializing is, okay? Now, the word racist, the word bigot, the word nationalist, the word Marxist, the word fascist, the word man, Eli, the word woman. All these words in our nation today and around the world have been trivialized or completely changed from their original definitions. I believe in some dictionary versions, they've even changed the definition of man and woman. Eli, person with vagina, person born with penis, or something like that. Like, they've even changed these definitions from what we know they really are. But I'm going to talk about trivializing, because trivializing isn't really changing. It's looking at it in a different way. So, let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Bad Moon says, wait, we only have two genders? Yeah, and we landed on the moon. We landed on the moon? Well, maybe we did. I guess. Who knows, right, Eli? Who knows? All right, here we go. Matthew 19. Trivialize even the smallest item in God's law, and you will have only trivialized yourself. So if you make anything in God's law or in God's world seem less significant, or anything in God's law or in God's world feel less important or more complex than it is, then you only do that to yourself as well. But take it seriously. Show the way for others, and you will find honor in the kingdom. That's verse 19. Let's move to verse 20. Unless you do far better than the Pharisees in the matter of right living, you won't know the first thing about entering the kingdom of heaven. You see, if you trivialize a word or the meaning of a word, then you don't know what to turn from. You don't know how bad that thing really might be. You don't have the proper discernment because you're trivializing words and meanings of words. And it doesn't work that way. Let's move on to 21 and 22. You're familiar with the command to the ancients, do not murder. I'm telling you that anyone who so much as angry with his brother or sister is guilty of murder. Now, this is where I'm taking you through the things that Jesus, and this is what Ray Comfort does too. He'll bring them through a lot of what Jesus is talking about in these chapters right here, in these verses. And what Jesus was great at was saying the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Gentiles, everybody has been trivializing words and meanings so that they can soften the blow or make themselves justified or make themselves feel better about the sin that they're committing. I see that, Annette. You're very welcome. Thank you as well. Thank you for being here. Carelessly call a brother idiot, and you just might find yourself hauled into court. Thoughtlessly yell stupid at a sister, and you are on the brink of hellfire. Wow, we do a lot of this, don't we, Eli? How many people do I call stupid a day? How many people do I call an idiot a day? But we live in a world where somebody says, well, calling somebody stupid and calling somebody an idiot, there's far worse that people can be called. Not at one time in the world there wasn't. The The simple moral fact is that words kill. Verse 23. This is how I want you to conduct yourselves in these matters. If you enter your place of worship and about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you, abandon your offering. Leave immediately. Go to this friend and make things right. Then and only then come back and work out things with God. Folks, is this not connected to what we talked about yesterday? Is this not directly connected to what we talked about yesterday? That you cannot hold grudges, not forgive, not mend relationships with somebody, because if you do and you still go to the Lord in prayer, it's going to fall on deaf ears. It's not going to work. It's not going to matter. See the importance of it now. Or say you're out on the street. This is verse 25 now. And an old enemy accosts you. Don't lose a minute. Make the first move. Make things right with him. Let's stop. Do you remember the questions yesterday in the live chat? I know this is going to be hard. It's hard to say, and it's even going to be harder to hear for some. Do you remember people said yesterday, what if somebody's hurt you so bad that you don't want to mend a relationship with them? Well, unfortunately, that means that you don't really want to mend your relationship with God either. Because this says, or say you're out in a street and an old enemy accosts you, don't lose a minute. Make the first move. Make things right with him. Now, if there is no acceptance on his or her part to make things right, that still doesn't mean you didn't, because you did. After all, if you leave the first move to him, knowing his or her track record, you're likely, it's actually only his, I'm just saying that as her for modern times, you're likely to end up in court, maybe even jail, maybe even hell. I added that last part. I'm not adding or taking away from the Bible. I'm just putting it in context for what, how serious it really is. Verse 26. If that happens, you won't get out without a stiff fine, whatever that may be. You know the next commandment pretty well too. Don't go to bed with another spouse. But don't think that you've preserved your virtue by simply staying out of the bed. Now we're getting deep. Your heart can be corrupted by lust even quicker than your body. It's actually the first thing that gets corrupted, right? Those leering looks that you think nobody notices, they also corrupt. Let's not pretend this is easier than it really is. If you want to live a morally pure life, here's what you have to do. You have to blind your right eye the moment you catch it in a lustful leer. You have to choose to live one-eyed or else be dumped on a moral trash pile. So what are we doing right now, folks? What are we doing right now? We're going through how serious Jesus said these things were. And the reason why we're going through these things is because all of these things that Jesus talks about in this portion of the Bible, Matthew 5, 19 through 48, is everything that I am going to go and bring up right now and show you how we trivialize this. What does the world call the action of cheating on your spouse? What do you have behind your spouse's back? Or what are you currently having? Not you, but if you are cheating on your wife or your husband or your spouse, what are you having behind the back of that person? The world calls it having an affair. Jesus calls it adultery. So the world calls it hatred. Jesus calls it murder. You see the difference here? It is not an affair. An affair is something that's happening in, oh, that there's an affair going on over here that we need to discuss. Adultery is the word that you need to use. Because adultery, side chick, says Mutt Mom Eli. Side chick. Rosebud, it's okay. You just started again. It's you probably were unfollowed, and you just got to follow the page again and redo it again. So again, folks, it's not called an affair. It's called adultery. And adultery is a sin, and it's wrong, and it leads to hell. There's a huge difference between, oh, there's an affair going on, and there's adultery going on. Very specific here. Again, Jesus says, if you lust for a woman, and you've already just, and you've lusted with her, even thinking of her, then you've already committed adultery in your heart. The world says you have to go and act on that thought for it to be an affair. Jesus says, No. You don't even have to act on it physically. You could have your heart corrupted, and it is called adultery. Know the word. What about the next one? It is not called safe sex. The world tells you what, Eli? Wear a condom. Thank you, Rosebud. You got it, girl. If there's a glitch and you are automatically unfollowed, then you are not a monthly supporter anymore either. It's really weird. Okay? Now, the world would say, wear a condom, Eli. Don't practice abstinence. If you're going to be sexually active, the world says, you should have what they call safe sex, right? So that means the pill, a condom. Eli, what's the thing the girls use called? Not a condom. What's a girl condom called? Diaphragm, right? The morning after pill. None of these are safe sex, folks. Because there is no safe sex outside of marriage. So when you see me get so mad about homosexuality, I will get just as mad if we talk about fornication. I'll get just as mad if we talk about adultery. I'll get just as mad as if we talk about constantly deceiving and stealing. The thing about homosexuality is sexually immoral sin is probably one of the top or worst ones because of the fact how it infects the world. Like, my thievery isn't contagious, right? But my outward sexually immoral sin in public is very contagious. How do you think James O'Keefe is able to get so many people to talk? So sex, safe sex, there's no such thing as that. If you're having safe sex, you are married. Point blank, period. It's not called safe sex, folks. It's called fornication. That's the word you need to use. So, let's recap the first two. It's not called an affair. It's called adultery. We will not trivialize that word. Okay? It's not called safe sex. It's called fornication. And it will lead to a lifetime of hell and a life and an afterlife of hell as well. And now let's get to the one I was just talking about. It is not called gay love. It is called sodomy. We should be free to love whoever we want. You dirty Christians are just trying to stop us from loving whoever we want. No, you should love everyone. You should even love people that you don't want to love. Loving somebody doesn't mean having physical sex with them. And it is not called gay sex or gay love. It is called sodomy. Period. So I want you to notice that the first two things that I spoke about before talking about the sexual immoral act of homosexuality, I first spoke about adultery, then I spoke about fornication, because they're right up there with the homosexuality. It's all sexual immoral sin, and sexual immoral sin is contagious, and it ruins nations. It always has. It always will. It is not called gay love. It is called sodomy. Simple. Period. Point blank. Now, let's move away from the sexual and moral sin to see other words that are trivialized in today's society to get us away from God. Let's go and talk about the Catholic Church for a second. What do they say? The Protestants say that we worship and pray to Mary. Well, that's not true. We know Jesus is our Savior. We know Jesus is Lord. And we only worship God in the Trinity. We venerate Mary. Have you heard them say that? I've heard it a billion times. We don't worship Mary. We venerate Mary. That, ladies and gentlemen, is called trivialization. Because it's not called veneration. It's called idolatry. And you would think a millennia old or more religion that came from Peter, who is the rock of Christianity, would know the difference. That's right, Annette. It's not a minor attracted person. You are a pedophile. That's exactly right. So it's not called veneration. It's called idolatry. Mary is dead. Jesus is risen. You cannot pray to the dead. CQ, you got it right. Jesus even called Mary woman and did not pray to her or through her. He respected her as his mother. So, that's the next one. And I love the fact that somebody said, it is not minor attracted person, it is pedophile. It is not, as CQ says, migrant, it is illegal. And when you decide that you're going to trivialize these words, then these words hold no meaning. And if the words hold no meaning, then how are you supposed to follow the word of God? It's not called pro-choice or abortion. It's called murder. Moida, Eli. There's been a murder in Savannah. It's called murder. Moving on. It's not called alcoholism. Alcoholics Anonymous. That person suffers from alcoholism. Alcoholism runs in their family, Eli. No. Sin runs in their family. The desire to be an addict and depend on something else other than God, it runs in their family. People can make gods out of everything. Drugs, alcohol, money, sex, Call it what it is. It's not called alcoholism. It's called drunkenness. Do you want to know why? Because alcoholism suggests that you have something, like a disease. It's an ism. Drunkenness puts the consequences for your decisions on you. You are choosing to be a drunkard. That's what the Bible says. So you don't call it alcoholism. You call it drunkenness. That's what God called Noah. Eli, I don't think God was like, Noah, you have alcoholism. You must go and repent and start Alcoholics Anonymous. Eli just said it right there. Eli chose to vape, and Eli chose to stop, regardless of how hard it was. It's a choice. It always is. And the last one that I really want to talk about today, it is not a fib. Oh, I wasn't serious. I was just fibbing. Right, Eli? I wasn't trying to be deceitful. I was just giving a white lie. It's called a lie. That's what normal people say. That's what Matt Gaetz said, right? Eli? So that was a lie, right? That's what normal people say. There's no difference between veneration of the saints and Santeria, which is voodoo. Hemlock nailed it. I chose to be a drunkard for 40 years, said Essentialism. I was saved by the grace of God. Not a whole lie. Just a small lie, right? It's not called a fib. It's called a lie, folks. It's not called an automobile accident. It's called a car crash. It's not called overeating. It's called gluttony. That's right. You see, folks, do you see how when you change the names of words and you make words less relevant in their definition, then it is so hard for a society to grasp or discern what is right and what is wrong. And so many of us lean on trivialization so that we can either continue our sin or make ourselves believe that we're not really sinning. After all, we're doing far better than Johnny over there, who's doing far worse than we are with his sin. It's not going to work when you go and stand in front of Jesus. One thing that you have to know, every knee will bow. Every knee. Believers, non-believers, atheists, agnostics, Christians, Muslims, Buddhists, dead, alive. Every knee will bow. And when you do, you will have to hold an account for yourself for what you've done. You'll have to hold an account for yourself for what you've done. And you're not going to be able to point the finger and say, well, Eli did this, so what about me? And somebody said, so telling kids about Santa and the Tooth Fairy and everything is a lie? Yeah, it kind of is, because what happens when you set when you then tell them that God is real as well, and then you tell them when they're 11 or 10 or 9 or whenever it is that the Tooth Fairy and Santa is not real, how are they going to believe you that God is? So yeah, I made that mistake too. I wish I never would have done that. I wish I would have from day one. Do you know what, Lily? Lily knows that Santa Claus is not real, but still loves Santa Claus. She knows that Frosty the Snowman is not real, but still loves Frosty the Snowman. She knows that the Tooth Fairy is not really real, but still puts her teeth under the pillow. See what I'm saying? I wish I would have done that with my first four kids, but we weren't Christian when they were born. So it was a little different. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a very long Ray Comfort today, so I don't want to miss any of that. So let's go to Ray Comfort's video now. He says, the one time you should never give someone a gospel track. And the funny thing about that is I think I heard somebody talking about that today in the chat. So let's roll it. And this will take us to the end of the show.
never ever give someone a gospel tract, let's look at the number one time we should. It's what most of the church seems to have forgotten. People are going to hell if they die in their sins. We've found everlasting life in Christ, and they haven't. And if we care about them, we'll want to reach them with a message of everlasting life by any means possible. And if we don't care, listen to Charles Spurgeon. Have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you're not saved yourself. Be sure of that. Here's some reasons why we should care enough to give out tracts. They're easy to give out. They can get into people's homes when we can't. They never become involved in arguments. They get read when the person wants to read them. Many have been saved through gospel tracts, including Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, and they're easy to carry. You can leave them with a checkout person, you can hand them to strangers, and you can give them out with a generous tip in a restaurant. The one time you shouldn't give a gospel tract to someone is when they've tragically passed on. It's too late. So today, set your mind on giving to the living, the greatest gift of all, everlasting life. Please stay with me because I'd like to show you how we can help you get the gospel into the hands of the lost. This is the tract sample pack. I'm going to go through all of our tracts. It's going to take a while, but it's going to be well worth it. Let's begin with the giant money. This is a $100 bill, blown up. It's legal to do this. And this is wonderful to give out at parades, or even if you go through a drive-through, you say, excuse me, can you break a big bill? People love it, especially in parades. You go along a parade and start giving them out to people sitting, waiting for the parade. Suddenly you'll get people coming up and saying, can I have one of those big $100 bills? And it has the gospel on the back, and the government's even started it off with, in God we trust. This is 101 of the world's funniest one-liners, and they certainly are funny. You can say to someone, excuse me, here's 101 of the world's funniest one-liners. When you've got a few moments, it'll lift your day. Don't forget to read the message in the middle, and the gospel's hidden right in the middle, so there's plenty of getaway time for you. This little booklet has been incredibly popular, mainly because everyone has a fear of death, and it's called How to Be Free from the Fear of Death. When a believer has doubts, it'll show you how to have complete faith in God and why you should. Mark of the Beast. This one's called How a Catholic Can Be Sure of Heaven. It's a witnessing session straight from YouTube, a really moving one with a young Catholic guy who came to saving faith. Suicide has skyrocketed in recent years, and this You're Not Alone deals with the subject of suicide. Why Christianity? Well over 1 million in print. It contrasts all the great religions with Christianity and shows why Christianity is head and shoulders above every religion. Save Yourself Some Pain, 8 Principles of Christian Growth. God and Sexuality tastefully gives God's design for sex. Scientific Facts in the Bible, amazing truths written in the scriptures thousands of years before man discovered them. Here is something to give away after you've witnessed to somebody. It reiterates the gospel and summarizes principles of Christian growth. Remember When, written for the elderly. Faith is for weak people, responding to the top 10 objections to the gospel. A gift for you, Money Within. And there really is. There's a little slot for you to put a dollar bill in here, and it explains why you're giving a dollar bill or $5 bill. It gives an apology for so many leeching in the name of Christianity. The extremely popular $1 million bill, so easy to give away. Just say to someone, did you get your million? Or you'll think of me when you get your change. Clear gospel presentation on the back. People love this. Then we have our $1 trillion bill. And the children's version of the $1 million bill, tastefully written, not dealing with the subject of lust. Life in the Womb, a pro-life tract, a little booklet. A picture certainly is worth 1,000 words. We have a number of booklets, cartoon booklets, which are very popular. Dangerous Riptides, Rich Man's Jet, Big Trouble. There are a number of titles. Here's the Atheist Test. It'll show you why the atheist cannot exist. Very thought-provoking. Here is the Survey Intelligence Test. It asks a number of questions, such as, how many of each animal did Moses take into the ark? What's the name of the raised print that deaf people use? How many of each animal did Moses take into the ark? None. It was Noah. What's the name of the raised print that deaf people use? It's not Braille because deaf people can see. It goes on with these fascinating questions leading into the gospel. And it comes in the form of a pad. Science confirms the Bible. What the Bible says, scientific facts, science now, and science then. Mind game, this is incredibly fascinating. A little bit complex to explain it to you, but you could do it online. The very popular, Are You Good Enough to Go to Heaven? Very comprehensive. Why does God allow suffering? Most people ask this question sometime in their life. The smartphone tract, this will make you laugh. It really is funny. Are You Good Enough to Go to Heaven? This is incredibly popular. It's virtually the way I present the gospel in cartoon form. Smaller version for your pocket or purse. This is the curved illusion tract. Which looks bigger, the blue or the red? Blue looks bigger, red looks bigger. People love it, has the gospel on the back. And this one comes in a children's version. Which is bigger, the black or the orange? Quite amazing, they're the same size. And people love it when you say you can keep them. Then there's the faithful wallet. We've had this for many years. You just throw this on the ground and people take it. It says, what would you do if you found a wallet with money in it?
I like that one.
And it leads into the gospel.
That's a good one.
This is the ticket to heaven. It says, if you don't need a ticket to heaven, tear this up if you can. And it's made of untearable paper. Little booklet called, Are You a Good Person? Cute little booklet to give away. Four things you need to know about God. And it speaks of the character and nature of God. What is the meaning of life? Perception test. See the lady?
And everybody can get these. They can order
these
from Ray.
Three quick questions and sends people to needgod.com.
And they're either free and just pay for shipping and handling.
Which is a cartoon version.
Or they're very cheap. And this is a
believe it or not, this is my favorite track to give out. I give this out all the time. I go to a local college twice a day. I say to people, would you like to go on YouTube? Our channel has over 275 million views. That's how many views it's got at the moment. And they smile as they see this. And you can do the same thing. You just say, have you ever seen this YouTube channel? Look at this. And it makes people smile. So it's got over 200 million views. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Easy to give out. They roll their phone over the QR code and it takes them straight to the YouTube channel. This is a smart card. It says if you place your thumb on that square for 15 seconds, if you're a good person, it'll turn a greenish color. And then it says make sure you do it for 15 seconds. And of course, nothing happens. And on the back, it explains why. This is another little booklet called Something to Think About. It presents the gospel. You give this away and say, look, here's a picture of me when I was a youngster. Here's a kid's tract called Albert Brainstein. This teaches kids to memorize the Ten Commandments in about 3 minutes for life, and then it presents the gospel.
See, ladies and gentlemen, so what these do, these small things that he's talking about, what they do is they bring people to God without even you having to talk to them. Not that you don't want to, but that's the incredible part about it. And now we're going to move to when he talks to actual people and spreads the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, Ray Comfort.
It's a coin with the Ten Commandments on one side and the gospel on the other. You're familiar with the Ten Commandments?
I am, yes.
You shall have no other gods before me.
That means that God should be first in your affection. He gave you life, so you should love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Yeah. What does it make you think about?
That makes you think a little bit about just life in general. And as long as you feel like you're doing the right thing, then, you know, that will always lead you to a straight path.
So do you love God? Is he first?
No, I think my children is first. As long as I take good care of my family and my children, I think he's
that's what my dad thinks too.
The right thing.
Years ago, I purchased a nice big color television set for my kids when they were little. Got home the first day we had the TV set, and they weren't there to greet me. They were watching TV. So I walked up to the television set and turned it off and said, kids, I love you and I got this television set for your pleasure. But if it comes between you and your love for me, it's a wrong order of affections. You're loving the gift more than the giver. So if you love your children more than you love God, you're loving the gift more than the giver. Are you a good person?
I hope so. I'd like to think I am.
I'm going to put that to the test by going to those commandments.
Okay.
I'm going to go to the third commandment.
It says, you shall not take the name.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
You know, I will be honest, I have in my lifetime, yes, but I don't generally do it.
So what's going to happen to you on Judgment Day? Are you a good person?
I am a good person, I believe. I try my best.
We'll go back to those commandments and see how you're going to do on Judgment Day, because that's the standard God's going to judge you with. How many lies have you told in your life?
Oh, many.
Would you ever use your mother's name as a cuss word?
Absolutely not.
But you've taken the name of the God that gave you a mother and used it in place of a cuss word. Jared, that's called blasphemy, very serious in God's eyes. Have you ever stolen something in your life? That's the eighth.
Yes, I have. When I was about 10 or 11 years old, I did.
Started stealing young. Appreciate your patience with me and your honesty. Can you read the seventh?
Yes, seventh. It says, you shall not commit adultery.
Have you ever committed adultery?
No, I have not.
Now listen to what Jesus said. He said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust for her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Oh, yeah.
Have you had sex before marriage?
Oh, yes.
You've told me you're a lying thief and a blasphemer. And when you say you've never lusted after a woman, I can't believe you because you told me you're a liar. So if God judges you by the Ten Commandments on Judgment Day, you're going to be innocent or guilty.
By what you just said, I'd be deemed guilty. But by what I told you, you know, I believe is everything is correct that I've told you.
Yeah. And so if you're guilty on Judgment Day, would you go to heaven or hell?
I mean, obviously, it would mean that I'd go to hell if that were to be the judgment.
Yeah, the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no blasphemer, no adulterer will inherit God's kingdom. Have you ever heard the Bible verse, the wages of sin is death?
No, sir.
Yeah, it's saying that God is paying you in death for your sins. Like a judge who looks at a criminal who's committed multiple murders, and the criminal keeps saying, I'm a good person, judge. But he's committed murder. The judge says, I'm going to show you how serious your crime is. I'm giving you the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what you've earned.
Right.
And Jared's sin is so serious to a holy God, he's given you the death sentence. You're on death row. And your death will be evidence to you that God is deadly serious about sin. And Jared, I love you. I don't want you to go to hell. You seem like a nice guy. So here's the question. What did God do for guilty sinners so we wouldn't have to go to hell?
I didn't mention it from the beginning, but I am Jewish, and also Jews do not believe in hell.
Jared, I'm Jewish too.
Okay.
And the Old Testament says God will turn all nations that forget him into hell. The Bible in the Old Testament, multiple places, warns about a place called hell. But you actually do know what God did for guilty sinners. He provided a Messiah, a Savior, the Lamb of God. Do you remember the Lamb was slain during Passover and the blood was put on the doorposts and death passed over?
Yes.
All those that obeyed and put the blood there. Well, when Jesus was walking towards John the Baptist, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Boom.
God told Abraham he'd provide a lamb. And God became a human being in Jesus and suffered and died on the cross, shed his blood so we could be forgiven. It's as simple as this. You and I broke God's law, the Ten Commandments. Jesus paid the fine. That's why he said it is finished just before he died. If you're in court and you've got speeding fines, the judge will let you go if someone pays those fines. He'll say, Jared, you're guilty, but someone's paid your fine, you can leave.
All right, now if you want to watch the rest of that, you're going to have to go to Ray Comfort's YouTube page. I wish he would come to Rumble. We will get Ray on sooner or later, folks, so don't worry about that, but it'd be nice if he'd come to Rumble as well. You see what Ray did there? Why do you think it's very important for you to read the complete Jewish Messianic Bible? That's the Bible, folks. That's Old and New Testament. But it's so important for you to understand that if you're a Christian, you're a Jew. You're a Jew first and a Christian second. Christian completes your Jewishness. You are a complete Jew. And that's why it's very important to know the Old Testament. So somebody said earlier in the week that their husband doesn't think the Old Testament is relevant anymore. The Old Testament is the foundation of the house, and the New Testament is the house. Without one, you can't have the other. And without being a Christian, without being a Jew, you can't be a Christian. And that's what I love about Ray, is he understands that. And he goes, well, I'm Jewish too. And they're like, oh, really? And then he continues to teach them and educate them, which is absolutely mind-blowingly awesome if you ask me. Now, as we get ready to go, I do want to say one more thing. And that's this. Actually, two more things. Ray said, Eli, that his Living Waters has 275 million total views on their channel. Guess how many LFA TV has on Rumble already? 80 million. We have 80 million total views on our channel. So God is good. We don't even have the mainstream social media platforms, and we're still reaching people. And that is a testament to all of you guys. And here's the last thing. My daughters, I told you, they completely stripped down. They don't have really anything in life anymore as far as like the most bare minimum stuff. I asked my daughters when I got home yesterday, what's life feel like living as simple as you can. And both of them said, peaceful. They're finally at peace and they're experiencing joy. And I said, see, all that stuff you had in your life of the world was holding you back. You strip away the world and you live bare minimum and you live only relying on God and you are joyful and you're at peace. So keep praying for me and my family. I'll keep praying for you. God bless you. That's going to do it for Rise Up today. Mike Crispy and Unafraid starts next. God bless you guys. We love you. Remember, don't trivialize words. Words are important. See you later, folks. Bye-bye. Thank you for all that you've done for me. It's his show, it's our show. Rise up and rise up to the Lord.